Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. What is glory? We heard the word glorify often in this gospel we just heard. So what is glory? Is glory a moment of pure success, like winning a race or a game? Receiving a standing ovation after a presentation? Is glory receiving an award? Glory moments can be fleeting. And I remember one brief glory moment. Years ago, and it only lasted 2 years, I was a high school freshman girls basketball coach. I had played basketball in high school, which is many years ago. And the year I coached, which was almost 25 years ago, was the first year Bishop Montgomery High School added a girls' basketball team to their program. Thus, I began a short-lived career to supplement my Catholic school salary. Well, at the end of my last and second season, my girls' team was playing our rivals, St. Joseph's High School in Lakewood. There were 12 seconds left, and we were winning by 2 points. St. Joseph's got the ball, so I called timeout. 12 seconds left, ahead by 2. As this incredible coach, I said to my team, "Tough defense and don't foul." The whistle blew. The game resumed, and immediately one of my girls stole the ball. But my dear freshman dribbled to their basket. That was the wrong way. Needless to say, I began yelling, "Stop! That's the wrong way!" But she couldn't hear me because everyone else was yelling. The other team was yelling, "Shoot!" My girls were yelling, "Stop!" Well, my player dribbled without any interference, right up for a layup, and missed the shot. I sighed with relief until one of my other players grabbed the rebound and, yes, put it back up, trying to make a basket. She missed. The game ended and we won. We had beaten our rivals. Tingles went up and down my spine. It was the last game of the season, the last game of my 2-year career, and it ended in a moment of glory. At some point in our lives, many, if not most of us, have known fairly ordinary moments of glory, moments of success and pride. This is the season when many celebrate the success of graduating from high school, college, or professional school. They are glory moments achieved after much hard work. And you gathered here in this first pew on this Baccalaureate Sunday have achieved a lot, and we are proud of you. In society, glory is created by perception and acknowledgement. But what type of glory was Jesus talking about in today's gospel? In this passage, we hear the word glory or glorify often. When we can think we know what glory is and even try to pursue it. But Jesus was talking about not his success or the success of his disciples as glory moments, like we might experience after winning a tough basketball game. Jesus was talking about faithfulness. And he said, "I glorified you on earth, Father, by finishing the work that you gave me to do. The work that had been given to Jesus was to tell us God loves us. And this was to be done by words and actions. And it is our work also. The success of our lives will not be measured by how many degrees we have, how famous we are, how wealthy or financially secure we have become. Christian success, God's glory, is the measure of how we have loved others with what we have been given. I think most of us have heard of the woman who served the poor in Calcutta, India, Mother Teresa. She said of her life, "God has not called me to be successful. God has called me to be faithful." This is what Jesus is talking about today. This particular dialogue occurs when Jesus knows that he will be arrested soon. Arrested because of how he loved, healed, and preached. It was more than the religious leaders could take. They wanted to maintain the law and tradition. Jesus was into honoring the dignity of each human being and loving them for who they were, not for what they could or could not do. It was his vocation, and it is ours. The measuring stick of success is love. Jim Noble, a renowned chef in North Carolina, is someone I would call a successful Christian. The other night on CNN, Jim Noble was interviewed. He has several for-profit restaurants and by today's standards, is considered a very successful chef. But he opened a new restaurant called The King's Kitchen with a different vision. Instead of opening another restaurant to make more money, he opened King's Kitchen with the idea that all the profit would go to programs to feed the poor in the city of Charlottesville. So those who come to the restaurant now have a way to help their community. Jim believes that people will help one another if given the opportunity. Jim also uses his restaurant to train the unemployed. One of his employees was homeless until 2 months ago. Now as a dishwasher, Philip Lewis stands tall and says his life is now blessed by faith and finances. Chef Jim states, "Sometimes in life, you have to make a distinction between success and significance. So in the King's Kitchen, every plate that goes out means more poor people are being fed." Like Jim Noble, each of us has to make a distinction between success and significance. Jim finds providing food for the poor of more significance than more money from another restaurant solely for profit. Jim is on a life-giving path of Christian love, and he obviously is not worried how the world judges success. But many in our society are caught up with superficial success. We can fall victim to an ordinary glory that has no content. In fact, some successes can go to our heads and we become legends in our own minds. False pride and empty vanity does not help anyone. Jesus humbled himself and served. He rejected the vanity and relativity of glory. The second reading from Peter declares, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that God may exalt you in due time." So how can we stay focused on a path of love and yet make our way in the world? How can we choose service over power? The focus needs to be on God's glory, not our own. To exercise our gifts, vision, and love for the sake of others. It is called our vocation. Roy Lewis wrote in his book, Choosing Your Career, that a vocation may be described as setting aside our fears and our ego-centered work and embracing God's dream. And the dream that God has for each of us will never end, no matter how old we are. We are here on earth for a purpose. And at the heart of that purpose is to live life with love in all our ordinary moments as passionately as Jesus did. But life will have its ups and downs. We try this, we try that. We make mistakes, we lose a job. We go through a divorce, we fall on hard times, we suffer ill health. We face unexpected tragedy. So life is not free from pain. Life is finding our source of strength in God and choosing to live for God daily. Yet the world surrounds us with temptations for empty success. I have made mistakes, made decisions for the wrong reasons. Being a girls' basketball coach for 2 years was not the right thing for me to do. I had said yes to the position for the sake of getting more money. I went into it for the wrong reason. I was never meant to be a coach. I don't have the passion or the skill set. My brief moment of glory after winning that last game was a brief moment of glory without depth. But God's glory can be understood through the standard that Jesus set. The hardest, yet most powerful source of hope for us is to accept that the glory of Jesus was that he died on a cross for us and rose again to give us the grace to live life to the full with love. The eternal glory that Jesus prayed about in today's gospel can be seen. It shines, it illuminates, it lights the way and does not stumble others or block the way. So Jesus proclaimed, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Let each of us each day seek to live for God's glory, the work that we have been called to do, and illuminate the way for others." Amen.